Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to talk about waiting, and it's something that we don't like to do until there's something. For example, if you're going to have to go into an arena for a bullfight, and somebody says, you need to wait here. Somebody goes, no okay, problem. Hey, I'll wait here, right? But, you know, waiting on the Lord is such an important thing. And waiting is not the point necessarily where you're just sitting there doing nothing. But it's when God tells you something and gives you something, and you're getting this direction, this leading from God, whether it's for your ministry, your family, your business, your nation, whatever it is. And you have to just ponder that, kind of like going through the four phases we talked about in incubating your faith yesterday. And and you need to learn how to wait. And waiting reveals so much. Because waiting reveals your heart to you, but also your heart to others and others' hearts to you. And it just, all the motives surface in your life and all the motives surface in others' lives. And it's so important that if the motives have not yet surfaced, it's good to wait until they do. If you're, for example, if you are and I'll give a shout out to Steve this morning. He just did a great job on VFN radio, man. And I just really was very encouraged by your time on VFN radio and look forward to you being back on. But when you think about, because he's a Marine, that's why I'm talking about it, that if you have a troop of Marines that's going to go somewhere, you need to be able to know their heart and the motives of their hearts, because you're fixing to fight a battle that you're going to need them to stand with you. And when they say, I'm going to cover you, and they say that I'm going to back you up, and then I'm going to, you know, and the biggest thing about the soldiers and what they learn is they don't necessarily fight the microcosm of the concept of what they do. They don't fight necessarily for a cause. They don't fight for a some big political strategy. They fight for each other. And they defend each other, and no man left behind. And so they do what you got to do in the context of everybody coming home. That's right. Their goal. And so it's important then to know that, hey, are you going to fight? You know, are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to stand? Do you understand what's going on? And so waiting helps reveal all those things. And one thing that waiting does, waiting reveals three different kinds of motives amongst others. One is whether the motives are satanic or they're Satan's motives, you know, such as self-exalting, what others think of you, how it will look in men's eyes, double-mindedness, impatience, willing to do it if I, and you fill in the blank, right. Pride, more highly of one's self to the point of possible gains involved in it happening or recognitioning happening. And so that self-exaltation type thing, I got to get my name in lights. I want to be a part of this. And waiting will reveal that, because waiting kind of takes away all that self-glory. You know, it just kind of lets all that go. And somebody says, well, how long do I have to wait? And it's like, we're in the microwave generation that we can send a text message and it goes around the world in 6 seconds, and we get impatient. When you look at Abraham was 80 years old. Well, Moses was 80 years old.
Wow.
Right? It was like it was Abraham. Abraham was 90 years old. Sarah was 90.
Right. Abraham was 99.
Abraham was 99. And that's a pretty good wait.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good wait. You know, Moses did 40 on the backside to do 40 on the front side.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the timing, it's just
God's
relax.
Not in a hurry, is he?
He is not in a hurry. And quite often, maybe if we could die to ourselves sooner, we could probably use this sooner. But it just takes a lot. And I love the way that a friend of mine would always say, he said, you know, when I first started in ministry, I had a lot of answers and very few questions. And he said, now that I've been in a while, he says, I have a lot of questions and very few answers, but I would die for those answers.
All right.
And as you move along, you just grow in wisdom. And we're hoping, I'm hoping to that soon we'll have what's called, it's not going to be the line of debarkation, but it's going to be a basically a time that lines are drawn, because everything we say is one linear experience, because it's all out there. And even since we've launched in VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, I've grown in wisdom. I've been able to see things differently. God has opened my eyes more, and I'll be the first to admit that. And so what we'll have in some way, at some point, you'll be able to go and click on a part of the menu that shows a line of debarkation, something that from this point on that we begin to think differently. I think about the believers who were ministering in the book of Acts. They talk about them. I think it was Alexander was ministering in the name of Jesus, and you know, and it was a successful ministry, I would assume, but they needed to know some more.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, the word of God says, so they explained things more thoroughly to him and he received it. Peter is preaching to Cornelius's house, bringing them what he knows. Mm-hmm. Only finding out that he didn't know hardly anything at all, because in the middle of while he was talking, God was moving, and these Gentiles mm-hmm. got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which changed his doctrine that he could, you know, at that one moment. And he, you know, obviously we read about it because he wrote about it. He shared it. And you have to be open to that. You have to be open to, and so I think what's really important is that you'll be able to go to a place on the VFN Torch. And you can get to it at VFNTV.com, and we'll just draw a line. You know, if it happens, you know, three times in one day, we'll draw a line. No, we'll draw a line, because we just want it. We want to be on this whole journey. I mean, you look at the faith journey with Abraham, which his first name was Abram. And at some point he would have to draw a line and says, oh, it's Abraham now. I know that I call myself Abram, but God has spoken to me. But there's quite a few lines, you know, that he would have said in the process of his journey, he would have said that, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, that if your wife cannot fulfill by having a child, that you're supposed to sleep with your maid, Hagar.
Her maidservant.
Maidservant. Mm. And then that's how you're going to have the inheritance.
Mm.
And he would have said that. He did it, you know. And then when... all of a sudden, God comes through, not in his timing, but in his time, he realizes, you know, this is a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Rut-row. Rut-row. It was a rut-row line.
You know, but the thing is that it's written about it. God did not erase that journey, because this is our journey. We learn as we go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love everything out there, because, you know, you just learn it. And we had to have the past experience to understand our present experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not becoming more and more saved, that God's becoming more and more revealed to us. And in the context of that, Isaac was born. And then he had two sons now, one that was based on his old way of thinking that his wife kind of brought to him, but kind of forgot that she's the one that brought it up and was dogging him out about it. But God stepped in and made a way for the whole lineage of what was birthed under that original revelation. He didn't just do away with it.
Right.
He said, I'm going to make a great nation. And so, but as things go deeper and God's more revealing himself to us, he'll do a deeper work. He'll do a bigger work. And so we want to kind of make that available to you and be able to look for that. But understanding that and it's in the waiting. When you're waiting, it reveals things to you. God reveals himself to you and you learn more about God. Think about it. When God took Israel through the wilderness, you know, it's probably about 11-day journey, 40-day journey, I guess it would be. You know, I heard a couple different aspects of that. But he did it so he could reveal, he wanted them to wait in the wilderness so that their hearts would be revealed to them. And it did. I mean, obviously, the first generation's heart was not that good. So they died out there without a Walmart. And, then the next generation came in, but even they had a few issues about going into to the land as well. But in the context of that, so that was a waiting time. And so, and God was revealing himself continually with manna and fire and the tent of meetings and provision and, you know, send and healing and deliverance and all these things are taking place. Water from a rock, you know, all these different things are taking place. And people are moving their motives or have a chance to move their motives off of self and put them on God. And obviously Moses did that, as God described to him as the most humble man on the face of the earth. I mean, he understood, you know, that wasn't his goal, was not Satan's goal.
Mm. Right.
And the next particular motive of the three that waiting reveals is our self, flesh. Now, Satan's goal is about self-exaltation. Although your flesh benefits from his lies, that in his projection of it, but it's about self-exaltation. It's about idolatry. It's about impatience. It's about I'm willing if I type thing. Now, the second one, it reveals, waiting reveals, you know, self, flesh. It reveals survival. You know, do I want to survive? The fear of loss or the fear of failure. You know, those type of things where you have personal things that happen to you. The fear of lack. Fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Fear
mm-hmm.
of rejection. You know, what if I go to Nazareth and present my business idea or go to Nazareth and preach the gospel and they don't respond? What's that going to do to me? The person, this particular aspect it reveals to us is that it's not somebody wanting themselves to be exalted. They're wanting themselves to be spared pain, lack, rejection, you know, personal damage. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not willing to suffer. They're going to spare suffrage in their life.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously pride, self-awareness, right. Double-mindedness. It reveals double-mindedness where Satan's plans, says, I'm willing if I get this, get that, get my name up in lights or whatever. Now, this flesh aspect that it reveals in this aspect of it, I'm willing if I don't fail. I'm willing if I don't lack. I'm right. willing if I am not rejected. You know, I'm willing if I survive, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Right. If it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm willing if there's no pain involved in it.
Right.
And so the pride involved in this aspect that waiting reveals is thinking about oneself. Weaknesses or strengths, because you can look at your strengths and say, you know, I can, if you're thinking about lifting weights and, you know, Pat lifts weights, I heard, and depends.
It depends.
And you can lift 100 pounds, for example. And, but then you're looking to say, I got a strength. I can lift 100 pounds. But then God's calling you, or this business adventure that you're feeling like God's leading you in is a 200-pound adventure. It's a 200-pound ministry, for example. Mm-hmm. So you're actually looking at your strength. Mm-hmm. You're counting your men as David did. Mm. You're counting your money. You're counting your resources. You're counting that and trying to figure out if you got enough whatever to be able to do what God's called you to do. And this is self. This is. We'd be focusing on ourselves, and that's another thing that waiting reveals. Because if you wait long enough, the first thing is that the whole thing is like Satan's whole thing's out the door. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden it's like there's not even a Walmart out here in the desert, so I'm not going to get my names up on no marquee nowhere, you yeah, know. Right. And I'm on the backside tending sheep right here, and that type right. of thing. And so, and the last thing that's revealed, and this is what you want. This is why you need to wait on the Lord. And waiting is like a waiter. You're abiding with God. You're being faithful in the mundane things. You're loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. But we're talking about something that God is moving you to be able to release. And understand this is happening not only with you to others, you to yourself, and others to you, and you to others. But it's actually showing you who's in your troops, who's going, like the disciples. Jesus said when everybody wasn't in Jesus' troops, they started leaving. He goes, you know. The disciples looked at him and said, listen, you know, they're all going.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you know, what about you?
Yeah.
You know, is your motive satanic? Is your motive self? Or this last one, is your motive the Spirit of God? Is the leading? Because those are led by the Spirit of God or sons of God. And with that, we have peace. We have just the peace of God. that passes all understanding. Listen, when we were moving in selfish pride, it was all about understanding. Mm-hmm. Give me some more. I got to understand. If you tell, I got to just explain it to him. Give me, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's you. You're trying to figure out where you where you're going to either be get recognition or whether you're going to fail or not.
Be spared. Yeah.
Be spared
yeah.
or not. I mean, there's something about, you know, doing something to self. But when you have this peace, it just doesn't matter. It just does, you have this peace that God is with you. This is the leading. You're no longer double-minded, but you're single-minded in regards to what you're doing and where you're going. You just have a peace about it. You're self-sacrificing at this point. You're willing to lay down your life for it because you totally know it's God. And you know whether Nazareth responds or not, God's calling you there. And so you just do what God's called you to do, what you're leading it to do. And you're willing versus, remember, the first satanic idolatry was, I'm willing if I get promoted, get recognition. The second is self, I'm willing if I don't get hurt, mm-hmm. that type of thing. But the being spirit-led is, I'm willing for him and him alone. Mm. I'm just willing. Mm-hmm. I'm a willing. You know, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's looking for willing vessels. And I'm just willing. And the thing about it is, if you're not willing yet, mm-hmm. you haven't waited long enough. Mm. Don't panic, because God's not in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And if those around you are not willing yet, or they're still thinking about positions and titles and survival and lack, and despite whatever, God's bringing manna from the sky, he's bringing water from a rock, he's healing, all these different things. Don't be shocked when people go, well, I don't know. It's like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Just realize they haven't waited long enough.
They're not ready.
Not ready yet.
Now think about when Jesus told the disciples to go wait, when he was leaving and ascending back to heaven, and they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a larger group that actually went to the upper room. There was a larger group that was intended to go, but only mm-hmm. a few of them, I believe 120,
made it. Yeah,
were actually the ones waiting. Mm-hmm. And just waiting with the right motives, like you're saying, actually produces the right results.
Yeah. I mean, he appeared to, like, what, 500 people?
Yeah. And the power of God came.
Yeah.
And it's all she wrote. I mean,
Thank God they waited. He said, wait. Don't do nothing. Wait. And so often we move when all of a sudden we got some pride in our life, whether it's self-excitation or fear of loss, instead of just waiting for peace. Because when you wait for the Spirit's lead again, you get that peace and that single-mindedness, the self-sacrificing willingness to do it just for him. Then, at this point, that's all you have left. You don't have this other stuff left. And I think about this. You know, it reveals our motives, whether they're self motives, whether they're satanic motives, whether they're God's motives in our heart. It reveals any mixture and purifies us when we wait on the Lord. I think about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But when I think about waiting on the Lord, mm-hmm. I think about, you know, Clint Brown's waiting on the Lord. I mean, think about as you're waiting on him, just waiting on the Lord. Just a powerful, powerful thing.
Waiting on you.
Just waiting on the Lord.
Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. And I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. I am waiting on you. Waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time.
Lord, I've seen the fight.
Lord, I've seen too. Lord, I seek to find my strength while I'm waiting on you.
So important. If God put Israel in the wilderness for 40 days and he goes, ah, okay, 40 years. I mean, that shifting of that, understand that he's okay with that.
That's right.
When he allows Moses to do 40, to do 40, 40 years alone and 40 years with a people, understanding that, and he waits until Abraham's in his 90s. I mean, just everywhere you look, he just waits. I mean, think about it. Methuselah was 900 something years old.
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just like a vapor.
Yeah.
And waiting reveals these things. Allow God to reveal these things in your life. You don't want to move on like Saul moved on without waiting.
Oftentimes we say we're waiting on God, but yeah. God is waiting on us to wait on him.
Right. So he can reveal on our hearts to us, which our hearts, when our hearts are revealed to us, sad to say, you know, we got to stop being shocked. We just got to understand that means we need a savior. We need God. Mm-hmm. And he's cool with that. We just need to know that that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about where Jesus was told by Satan, hey, you bow down and worship me. These kingdoms will be given to me. I'm going to give them to you. It's not about, you know, self-exaltation, where Jesus was given the opportunity to not pay the price on the cross and walk away and call down legions of angels. He went ahead and laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend for the second phase of waiting,
mm-hmm.
right? And think about it. All of eternity, God had waited for this moment for his son to be offered up as a sacrifice. And Jesus was with him before the beginning of time as they were making man in our image.
Mm.
And they waited to this perfect moment at just the right times, Romans talks about, where they offered up Jesus. As they waited for that one moment. And we can't wait? What? And Jesus waited till the time he was 30 years old before he even started his ministry. And his ministry on earth was 3 years long. Maybe you just got to wait for a certain point to all of a sudden for your 3 years to be a bright light. Mm. That, by the way, his 3 years we tell time by.
That's right.
Somebody once told me that you can't rush a masterpiece. The things that are value require patience and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, that's what God's doing. I mean, we're at that place of waiting like that. God could provide the solution, the salvation, day one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Day one. But he allowed time to pass, because he was more interested in what he was doing than on the speed in which it happened, in which it all unfolded.
He wanted to give Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had not waited long enough to deal with things in their hearts. So they didn't even want to take this land flow of milk and honey. That represents God wanting to take us to heaven to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's preparing for us. And hey, we're going to have to deal with some stuff in our life. We're going to have to allow our faith to be tested and not to shrink back and to go through these processes. And waiting again, you know, has to do with like being a waiter. You're busy about the things of God, but God's unfolding things. So when David was anointed to be king, he didn't go buy him some business cards and tell everybody, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. She's a pastor. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor. No, he just went back and tended the sheep.
That's right.
That's right.
Just tended the sheep. I mean, you're not, that's, if you're thinking about titles and you're just, it's, it ain't done yet.
Mm-mm.
Ain't done yet. And so in the context, of that David went back to tend the sheep and waited. He waited. He was anointed king, but he went back to the father's house and served. And even when the king invited him in to be worship leader in the castle, that he didn't even bring it up. He just played music. And he enjoyed that, and he honored that, because he knew that that was God's anointed, and he wasn't going to lay hands on God's anointed or his opinion. He was just going to honor what God has established already. He was already king. He just waited. Wow. And even though things got rough, he still waited. When things got cut off, and he's actually, you know, he's still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it waited so long that all that left was spirit, because in the beginning, he may have walked in and said, okay, I got this thing, it's going on. But by the time that he was ready to be promoted to be king of Israel, they had to come and get him.
Mm.
Like God came and got Moses. Mm. And that's how you know there's only spirit left.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, he had no problem. And the very same ones that rejected him now comes like, we always wanted you to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because he knew that it was of God, he just said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So I encourage you, wait on the Lord. You can never go wrong waiting on him.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends, Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.